really good singing this morning, isn't it? May the Lord of Harvest shine upon us this morning. I'd like to take a reading from the second book of Kings, and it's chapter 13, verses 14 through to verse 19. And it's a well-known story. And I just want to try to refresh our memories on some things that we already know this morning. And this is the story about Joash, the king of Israel. He's going down to see Elisha, who has fallen sick. And 2 Kings in the chapter 13. And we'll begin the reading at verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take their arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice instead. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. We'll ask the Lord again to bless the reading of his word. Our Father, this morning we thank you for this opportunity of gathering together in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this open book this morning and this open door. We pray, Lord, that your blessing will be upon the reading of your word. We ask you, Lord, that it will do us good this morning. We ask you, Lord, the things that are said will bring glory and honor to your name. And Lord, that you'll refresh our memories, Lord, of things we already know. And Lord, we pray that your name will be glorified. Your name will be exalted. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. And we pray, Lord, as a result of our being here this morning, we'll go from here and we'll say it was good for us to be here, because we've met afresh with you, Lord. Lord, again we pray a blessing upon Tommy, Lord. We pray this morning for those who are not here, not able to be here. For those who are working, Lord. For those who are maybe ill, Lord, that you'll be their portion this morning and meet every need. In Jesus' name, amen. You have your seats this morning. And I want to speak this morning, if I can, and I've made out a little title, and I've made out a list of notes. I don't know if I'll get to them all or not, but my title this morning is, and I hope I'll stay with what I'm meant to stay with, Arrows of Witness is what I want to try to speak about this morning. Arrows of Witness. And I want this morning to speak a little about the arrow. And you can't speak about the arrow without speaking about the bow. So I want to try to incorporate the bow in this also. And it's in the scriptures here for us. And this is the story of Joash, the king of Israel, and Elisha, is on his deathbed. We know he's not going to recover of this illness that Elisha the prophet has. And Joash comes down to see him. And he's probably coming down there, you know, to hear, is there any word from the Lord? That was his reason. Going down, and he goes down and he weeps. He weeps over Elisha, and he starts to testify of what taken place. And you know, Elisha had that testimony about the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, because he witnessed the catching away of Elijah. And Elisha never forgot that. Elisha always had that testimony with him. But here Joash is coming down, he weeps over the prophet. And you know, some people said that Joash's tears, they were a bit like crocodile tears. He put on a bit of a show, maybe. And but when he goes down to the prophet of God, he doesn't come away with no word. But he gets a word from God. And he gets detailed information. I like it whenever God gives you detailed information. Amen. And he didn't only get detailed information, but he got step-by-step information. He got told what to get. And he got told what to do with what he had. And he got instructions on how to use what he had.
Amen.
So he wasn't without information. You know, we can get full of information and do nothing. Let me say this morning, if I don't say anything else, information is of no use unless you put it into practice. Information will do you no good unless you practice what you preach. And I'm preaching to myself this morning, but you have to put it into operation. When you get information, you have to put it into operation. If you don't put it into operation, you have wasted your time getting your information. So here, the onus is on Joash. Once you go down to the Lord and ask Him for a word, once you go to God and say, I need a word, and God gives you a word, when God gives you a word, the ball's in your court. It's up to you, it's up to me to do something with that word that God has given us.
Amen.
We are accountable. If you haven't got the word, you're not accountable. But if you've got a word from God, then you are accountable. God will hold you responsible. You know what's wrong today? People don't want to be responsible for anything. People don't want responsibility. They want to sit down and fold their arms and never take the initiative. I believe that's what the devil wants. So Joash goes down and he gets a word from the Lord. Now, he doesn't only get a word from the Lord, but he gets a practical run. A practical run. He gets to put into practice what's being talked about. You see, it's all right to talk about something. It's a different thing to do it.
Right.
Now, I know if you're talking about it, there's a chance you'll do it. But if you're not even talking about it, you'll never do it, maybe. But I'm moving on. Right away, Elisha tells him to do something. And right away, Joash does it. I had to credit him not. He'd done what he was told. And he told him in verse 15, Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. So right away, he's told what to do. and he does what he's told. Now that's a good step, isn't it? It's a good step whenever children do what they're told in the natural, isn't it? And it's a good step whenever God's children does what God tells them. Now, God wants you to do what he tells you. He doesn't want you to do something that somebody else has told you. Now, unless you know that God has told you to do it, don't you do it. But when God tells you to do it, and you know he has told you to do it, you do it. And don't you worry what anybody else thinks about you.
Amen.
Don't you worry if somebody else says, why did you do that, or why are you doing this, or why that. You're not accountable to them. You're accountable to God.
Amen. Right.
When God instructs a man, or when God instructs a woman, that man or that woman is accountable to God and to God only. There's no man or there's no woman on earth that they're accountable to. You know what's wrong with some people today? They want to put their thumb on other people. And they want to buttonhole them, as the saying is. They want to put them into where they're like lords over them. And they're dictating. They're instructors. They know everything. It's not right. They know everything. Tell you what to do. Tell you when to do it. Well, here the prophet gives the information to Joash, and he says, take bow and arrow. Now, what did he say? Tell him. He says, in fact, take the weapons of war. Take the weapons of war. And Joash, I don't believe this was the first time he had a bow in his hand or arrows in his hand. I don't believe this was his first time. But he told him to take it. Take the bow and take the arrow. Now, I want to stop there for a moment. Well, maybe I shouldn't stop there. I should say, it's very plain. He said to take a bow and take arrows. Now, the bow is no use without the arrow. Is that right or is that wrong? If I give you a bow and you're going into battle and I give you a bow and I give you no arrows, you're going to be defenseless. Is that right or wrong? Is the bow any use without the arrow? The answer is no. The answer is the bow is absolutely no use unless you've got the arrow. Isn't that right? And one works with the other. If you're going into the battle and I come down and I give you all the arrows and you haven't got the bow, you're not going to be successful, are you? If you're going out against the enemy and I say, take the bow, you say, well, what about the arrows? No, we don't. We no longer need the arrows. We've moved on from that. I tell you, you be defenseless. And if I say to you, you're going out into the battle, take the arrows with you and leave the bow, we don't need that bow no more. We have something greater than the bow. You're going to be defenseless without the bow and without the arrows. What does the bow represent here? Now let me say this. Let me give you a wee bit of information. If I can. Oh, you know what's wrong? You can have too many pages. Let me tell you, if I can, off the top of my head, a wee bit about the longbow. The longbow was invented in England. And it's invented over 100 years ago, and it's made from the yew tree. And the longbow's about 6 foot in length. And the longbow can shoot an arrow roughly between 250 to 300 yards. The longbow is also capable of penetrating armoured plate at 100 yards. Now that's powerfuler than a 12 gauge shotgun. Now, what else about the longbow? The longbow, I said, is made from the yew tree. The inside of the longbow is made from the heartwood. And the heartwood is the timber from the heart of the tree. I'm sorry, I missed it. I had it written down, you know, and then I, as usual, I leave that page at home. But it says about this heartwood that it's a soft wood. And it responds well under pressure. It responds well under pressure. Let me tell you what this bow represents. It represents the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. An arrow represents the preaching of that gospel. And therefore it's an arrow of witness. But let me say this also, that the longbow, the outer coating on the longbow comes from soft wood, which is a soft wood which is just underneath the bark. And it responds, if you look up Google Earth, you'll see this, and it says that it responds well under tension. You know, there's something that responds well under tension. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the prophet told him to take the bow and take arrows, and then he told him to open a window. Now, we're going to come to that in a moment. But you see that longbow now, Joash, the king of Israel, wouldn't have had a longbow. But you see that longbow that Robin Hood had? He had the longbow, and his men had the longbow. You see that bit about the soft wood and the heartwood, the sap wood is full of moisture. You know, the gospel needs the moisture of the Holy Ghost. And the gospel is the heart of God to God's people. That's the gospel. The gospel is the good news. Amen. But you know, you're maybe not getting the picture about the longbow, but get this morning. I believe this bow represents the gospel. And how did I arrive at that? How did I come up to that? Well, let me say this to you, and this is a good way to maybe put the point across or bring it across. The power, I said the longbow could shoot the arrow 250 to 300 yards, and it can penetrate armoured piercing at 100 yards. Is the power in the arrow, or is the power in the bow? The power's in the bow that shot the arrow. Did you know that? The arrow is powerless without the bow. So the bow is the power behind the arrow of witness. The bow's the power. What did the Apostle Paul say about the gospel? He says in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." So he talked about the power of God unto salvation. I want to say this morning that this bow represented the gospel. When the prophet told him to take the bow, he told him to take the gospel. Leave off the gospel, you're leaving off the power. Now let me say this morning. Show me a church with no gospel. You're showing me a church with no power. Now the arrows of witness represent the preaching. Let me say this morning, there's one bow. There's many arrows.
Yes, amen.
But there's one bow. There's one gospel this morning.
There's not two or three. There's not four or five. There's one gospel this morning. It's the same gospel that the disciples preached. It never needed change. It never has to be changed. It's the same gospel. It's the same bowl. And what that gospel done then, it'll do today. What that bowl done then, it'll do again.
Now, you see, when Joash came down to the prophet told him to take the bow. Take the bow. Take the bow. Take bow and arrows. Now, some people have left the bow down. Now, we'll maybe come to that a little later. God doesn't want you to leave the bow down. If you bear with me for a moment, just before we leave the bow, I want you to turn with me. You don't have to turn, or Brother Jeff wants to try to bring it up. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and it's verses 4 to 7. Now, just 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. I'm very slow at finding them. Now, you might have heard me saying this before, but I'm going to say this again. There is no substitute for the power of God. There is no substitute for the power of God. There isn't anything on this earth. There isn't anything in heaven. There isn't anything beneath the earth. There isn't anything. Anything means anything. There isn't anything that can take its place. There's no substitute for the power of God. Now let me say it another way. There isn't any substitute for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't anything that can take its place. Nothing can replace the gospel. Let me say this in passing. A well-known leading evangelist who has saw thousands of people come to the Lord, he said the gospel gun is the only gun in the world that you can shoot a dead man with and he'll become alive.
Amen.
That's the gospel. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. He says it's the only gun in the world. The gospel gun is the only gun in the world that you can shoot a dead man with and he'll become alive. We need something that gives life. We need something that will give life to the dying and give life to the desperate. We need the power of God. Now listen what Paul, when Paul addressed the Thessalonian church, and I'm reading from verse 4 down to verse 7, and he says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For he says, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye knew what or know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. But I want to draw your attention to verse 5, for it says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance." I tell you, when the gospel's preached under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, it brings the power of God. It doesn't only bring the power of God, it'll bring the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't, when you have them two things, when you have the power of God, and when you have the Holy Ghost, then you have much assurance. But you know, you show me a church where there's no gospel. You show me a church where there's no gospel, then you're showing me a church where there's no power. And when you're showing me a church where there's no power, there's no Holy Ghost. And then there's, when that, you know the outcome of that? There's no assurance. No assurance. People don't know where they're coming or going. People doesn't know. They have no assurance. But whenever the apostles preached, the people had an assurance.
Amen.
Not a witness. Arrows of witness. So, I want you to notice the gospel carries the power of God with it. The gospel preached will carry the power of God with us. No gospel, no power. No power, no deliverance. Now, I need to get back to my story. You know, Elisha told him to take the bow and take the arrows. And verse 15 says he took the bow and he took the arrows. And then in verse 16, and he said to the king of Israel, "Put thy hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. You know, you can go to church for years and never put your hand on the bow. People are going to church and they never put their hand on the bow. The gospel bow. Go to church. No gospel. No gospel. Never put their hand on the bow. The bow's available. The gospel's available. There's a gospel today. It's the same gospel. It's the same gospel that Jesus preached. John the Baptist come preaching it. Repent. Gospel. Get the gospel. Put your hand on the bow. Put your hand on it. You know, if you have something, if you're going to use it, that's the first thing you'll have to do. You'll have to put your hand on it. Now, I know there's new technology now. You can talk to things, robots. You can talk to them. You don't have to put your hand on them. But the general idea is you put your hand on it. Not right. Could you shoot a gun without putting your hand on it? Could you shoot a bow? Could you pick up an arrow without putting your hand on it? Put your hand on it. Where is it? See, if you don't know where it is, how do you put your hand on it? You have to know where it is. Well, I can tell you where it is. It's in this Bible. If you want to get it, get your hands on the Word of God. Get your hands onto the letters that Paul wrote. Get your hands onto the Gospels. Get your hand on it. She put your hand on the bow. And then Elisha put his hand on the king's hand. Now, this is all... Why, I'm making a lot of noise. You know, the natural types are spiritual. Put your hand on the bow. I was in a meeting, a Pentecostal meeting in Hull. Why you want to talk? You talk about people coming up with needs. They had needs. There's a man came up to the front and his wife came up to the front. And he stood there. And while he stood there, I saw a paper chain that was holding him.
a paper chain. Did you ever see a paper chain? I've seen them at Christmas, the Christmas decorations. The paper chain, every link was made out of paper. And the paper was really, really, the thickness of the paper is, what thickness is a sheet of paper? And this man came up, and there he was, and he was tied with a paper chain. And the word, he got a word from God. He got a prophetic word from God. Now you see, the gospel's not in word only, but in power. When Paul preached to the Thessalonians, he said this word, this gospel was not in word only, but in power. And then he said the word was in power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. But this man got a word from the Lord, and what was the word from the Lord that he got? The word was that he was held by a paper chain from preaching the gospel. And another man that preached the gospel went to them and told him that you can never preach in this town because I'm the preacher here. That's what he told him. And he never preached because of that. He was held by a paper chain. Paper chain. Held by nothing. Sure, if you tied an animal with a paper chain, it would break loose. But Christians are held by paper chains. They're held back with nothing. And you see, they're moving on. I have to move on. Moving on then. He's got the bow in his hand now. He's got the bow. He's picked it up. He's got the bow in his hand. And then he gets another instruction from the prophet. And it's in verse 17. And he said, open the window eastward. 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 And the Bible says that he opened it. Oh boy. Do you know what's wrong with most churches today? I'm going to tell you what's wrong in them. I'm maybe good at telling you what's wrong. They don't have any windows that open. Nathan's here with you. They don't have any windows that open. Open the window eastward. All the windows is closed. What does the opening of the window represent? I tell you what it represents. It represents reaching out beyond the four walls.
Amen.
It represents outreach. Go for years upon years upon years and never have a campaign, never have a gospel meeting, never have a revival meeting, never have revival and divine healing campaign, never. Their windows are closed. Never to be opened. You know what I say? Shame on us. Shame on them. Shame on us. Shame on us. You know what the Lord said to me? You know what he said? He says, John, what happens when you open a window? You know what happens? The fresh air will come in. The fresh air will come in. I'm saying that again. The fresh air will come in. When you open the window in the natural, the fresh air will come in. What else happens when the fresh air comes in? Drives the stale air out. The bad smells will leave. The bad smells will have to get out. And the new smells will have to come in. The fresh air, the Holy Ghost will have to come in. Who didn't say that the Lord breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost? I tell you something. This Jewish needed a breath of fresh air. He needed the anointing. He needed the power of God. If ever was a time when we need the anointing, when we need the power of God, it is now. But the windows is all closed up. The windows is closed so tight that they don't open. So therefore, you can't have any revival. Once you close the windows, you've closed God out. You say, we're in here and God is with us. Then you have become a sect. You have become a holy huddle. You are doing nothing. You're like Tommy says, you have become a aquarium keeper. You're looking at the fish and they're going round and round and round and round. And there's never no new fish. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. Oh boy. Open the window. Open the window. You know what else he said about opening this window? He said, open it eastward. Eastward. What does that mean? What does the east mean? I tell you what it means. It means the rising of the sun. Oh, hallelujah. It means the rising of the sun. And somebody said, Brother Branham said this. He said, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. It means the rising of the sun. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. You see, eastward, it's the rising of the sun. What does the rising of the sun mean? It means a fresh start. It means a fresh start. It means a new beginning. A new beginning. You know, when you get saved, you get a new beginning. If any man be in Christ, behold, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. There's the rising of the sun. There's the arrow pointing eastward. Eastward. A new beginning. And you know what it means? It means try again. Oh boy. You see, Joash had the bow and he had the arrow in his hand before. He had done it before, but this is different. He says, try it again. Open the window eastward. Open the window eastward. Eastward. You know what I've written down here? I've written down, if you think you've lost the last round. Now this is a boxing rat match. This is a fight. If you think you have lost the last round, go to your corner and come out fighting. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't set the bow down. Don't set the arrows down. Go to your corner and come out fighting. You know, you might have lost the last round. You might have lost the last two or three rounds. The fight's not over yet. The fight's not over. It's not over. You might have been saved by the bell, but you're not beat yet. You might be down, but you're not out. You're getting up again. You know, somebody said about one boxer fighting with another boxer. If this boxer keeps on coming back and keeps on coming back, the other boxer gets very discouraged when he throws everything at him that he can throw at him and he still keeps coming. You know, the devil's throwing at you and he's throwing at me all the time. The devil's throwing at me. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, against principalities and power. That's what you're wrestling against. Oh boy. Eastward represents, it represents a new beginning. You know, he opened the window, verse 17, eastward.
Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for they shall smite, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Apac till thou have consumed them. You know, it was the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. It's God that does the work. It's God that does the work. But Joash had to take the bow, and he had to take the arrow, and he had to open the window. There were three things that he had to do. He had to take the bow, and he took the arrow, and he had to open the window. And four, he had to shoot the arrow. He had to shoot it. He had to put the pressure and let it go. But remember, the power's in the bow. The power's in the gospel. The power was the power behind any preacher is the gospel. There's no point preaching without a gospel. You can't preach effectively without a gospel. Let me say that again the proper way. You can't preach effectively without the gospel. Not our gospel. The gospel. Because there's one gospel. One gospel and one gospel only. And let us go on. And again, the prophet speaks to Joash in verse 18, and he said unto him, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stead. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. You know, what did the king of Israel do wrong here? What did he do wrong? He sat the bow down too soon. He didn't do anything wrong, only he sat the bow down too soon. He had opportunity to do more, and he didn't do it. I believe that. Now, the prophet told him to take the arrows. He tells him to take the bow and arrows, and he tells him to open the window, and he tells him to open it eastward. He does all them things. He's done that all. But you know the danger sometimes when people do a certain amount, they think they've learned it. They think they've done all that they need to do. I'm not preaching works this morning. I'm saved. I'm justified by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't any works that I have to do. But I'm not talking about works to get salvation. I'm talking about working for the master and working against the enemy of your soul and my soul. So he tells them to take arrows and smite upon the ground. Now, I said arrows of witness. You know, whenever time, every time the gospel is preached, it's a witness. It's a witness. It's a witness to the resurrection. It should be a witness to the power of God. But you see, Joash here, he begins to carry out, smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice and stead. He begins to carry out, and you know, if you had talked to him, he could have said to you, well, I follow the prophet, I'm following the prophet. He could have said that. And he wasn't guilty. He was, what he said was right. He was following him. He was doing what he's done what he was told. But he didn't do enough. And you know what else about him? What he was doing was in a time frame. He was in a time frame. He was against the clock. Do you think we're against the clock today? I want to tell you we are. We're against the clock. We'll not always be here. Jesus said the night time cometh whenever no man can work. And he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is still day. And he talked about his earthly life on this earth. And that's the daytime. But you see, Joash had opportunity. And he only used, and he had opportunity and he had time. But he didn't take the full benefit of his opportunity. And he didn't take the full benefit of his time. He occupied his time with something else. You know, the devil will keep you busy and he'll keep you occupied until you have no time to smite upon the ground with any arrow. Now these was the arrows of the Lord's deliverance, I believe. This deliverance meant victory. It meant overcoming the enemy. That's what it meant. And you know, I used to have an old saying, and it's a very true statement, saying, when you get the ball at your toe, you have to kick it. Could you imagine a football match and every time a player would get the ball that he wouldn't kick it? Wouldn't be much of a player, would he? Could you imagine a football match and the right beside the goals and there's a man there, and I know nothing about football, but there's a man there and he's the man, he's the striker. His job is to put that ball in the back of the net. Could you imagine him that you're somebody else, there's a team, it's teamwork, and they're playing, they're all, and they bring the ball right up into the area where the goals are, the goals available, and they pass the ball to the striker. And when they pass the ball to the striker, he stands and looks at it. Never do nothing, stop and look at it. You have to strike it. You have to take your opportunity when you're getting it. You have to do something when you have time. You have to do something before it's too late. Because I'm going to tell you now, if you leave it too late, you'll never do it. You'll never do nothing. You'll have spent your time. The Bible says, we spend our days as a tale that is told. It's gone. Last year's gone. It's gone. You know, we're almost 25 years in these meetings. 1994. I'm not good at counting, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's almost 24 years. 1994, 2004, 10, 2014, 20. 14 and 4 is 8, 24 years. If the Lord spares us for another year, we're here another year, we're 25 years on the road. That's a quarter of a century. I'm 64. I've spent a lot of my time, haven't I? I'm in an hour. Don't think I've an hour 25 years left. How long have Joash left? How long has any of us left? Oh boy, you see. Well, you say, well, John, what are you talking about? Well, I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. We need to get the power of God. We need to get the gospel.
The gospel. The gospel. I'm convinced there's no substitute for the gospel.
Amen.
I always knew there's no substitute for the power of God. There's nothing can replace it. Nothing. Now, I didn't maybe dwell on it as much as I should have done. And maybe I have it written down here somewhere, but when Paul preached, he said he didn't preach in word only. Not in word only, but in power. And here, you see, whenever Joash smote thrice, it says the man of God was wroth with him. You know, the man of God was actually vexed. He was vexed that he even told him. The man of God felt that he had wasted his time telling him. Because it run off to us like water off a duck. Was it worth his while? Do you know there's a saying here in Ireland, you know what it is, about some people who doesn't maybe do much or spend much or do much when they can, that say, well, I know he wouldn't lay a big egg. No, he wouldn't lay a big egg. That's funny, but it's not real. It shouldn't be funny. You see, he had the chance to do something great. And the man of God was really wroth. He was wroth with him. He was cross with him. He was sorry. Probably he had even told him. He wasted his time telling him. He done say and he lay down. He let the bow go. He said, tell him you should have had 5 or 6. What was he telling them? He was telling them that instead of having 1,000 souls, he should have had 2,000. Instead of having 10,000, he should have had 20,000. He's telling them, instead of having one gift, he should have had several gifts. That's the opening of the window, but. You think God doesn't want, you think God only wanted him to smite 3 times? Think God would go to the trouble of telling a prophet, and then this man, he only uses half of the ability that is available. You know, there's another statement that I always made years ago, and you know what it was? God doesn't want you to be a lean-born Christian. What does that mean? That means that you're meant to do 30 miles to the gallon, but some of you is doing 60 and 70 miles on 1 gallon. God wants you to use more fuel. Now, I'm not talking about the stuff you buy in the pumps. I'm talking about the stuff that comes from heaven. The Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You know, today, some people criticize the power of God. Some people criticize the anointing. Some people criticize the gifts. Well, I want to tell you something. You'll do more with the anointing in 5 minutes than you'll do with knowledge in 20 years. You need the power of God. You need the anointing. The Bible says, because of the anointing, the yoke shall be destroyed. Yes. You're strong. You're learnt to run on empty. And you know why Joash only smote 3 times? He didn't have the hunger on him. You can take a horse to the water, you can't make him drink. But it's beginning to rain. I believe it's beginning to rain. And if you're thirsty and dry, turn your eyes to the sky.
it's beginning to rain. There's a wee song we used to sing here, the voice of the Father, saying, whosoever will can drink of this water. He said he would pour his Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, turn your eyes to the sky. It's beginning to rain. I tell you, we need a lot of rain. We need the anointing. We need the power of God. We need the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We need to get in church where the gospel's preached. We need to get in church where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are flowing and operating. We need to get in there where the power of God is available and the power of God is accomplishing the preaching of God's word. Now I'm going to read to you Philippians chapter 3 and it's verses 12 down to 21. Now, you see, Joyce had the tendency to sit down because he had been to the prophet and he'd got a word from God and he'd done some detailed information, he'd carried out some instructions, and by he's ready now to fold his arms and sit down. Never fold your arms and never sit down.
Amen.
Never, Jesus said, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom. You're in a battle today. I'm in a battle today. And the battle is for souls.
Amen.
That's the battle we're in. And if you're not in the battle for souls, you need to get on your knees and ask God to give you a vision.
That's right. Amen.
That's what you need to do.
Amen.
A fresh vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in to the Philippian church in chapter 3 and verse 12. Verse 11 says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then he says, not as though I had already attained or were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. There you are. Paul said he hadn't already attained, but he followed after. If that I may apprehend that which I have been apprehended for. And he goes on to say, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus, or of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, to never preach the gospel is to become an enemy of the cross of Christ. I believe that with all my heart. I have to come to the close. It's just gone after 20 past 12. Just let me turn back, please, to Thessalonians again. And just want to leave these verses with you here. Thessalonians, chapter 1. First book of Thessalonians in chapter 1. And How did I do? I don't know how I've done this. No, that's not, I've written it down. I've written it down wrong. No, it is Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. I'm just going to read you this again because I believe it's great. Verse 5 says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." For our gospel came not unto you in word only. You know, some people today say the word, the word, the word, the word. And that is true. You need the word. But Paul's gospel wasn't the word only. Paul's gospel had the power of God with it. Paul's gospel preaching was anointed.
Right.
To preach without anointing is wrong. You have to be anointed to preach. You can't preach without the anointing. No. You're working under your own steam. You can't shoot the arrow without the bow. Now the power behind the preaching is the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that will believe. And Paul says here to these Thessalonians, he says, not in word only. Paul goes on to say more. He says, "The latter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." See, don't say you're not looking for a sensation. Don't say that. I tell you now, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you'll know him. If he comes in the room and stands beside you, do you think you wouldn't know he's standing beside you? You wouldn't feel him. I'm going to tell you something. That is pure nonsense. The power of God is real. The presence of God is real. Get the hunger on you. Get the hunger for the power of God. Get the hunger for the gifts of God. Get the hunger that's made upon the ground. Make your mark. Make an impact. Get the witness. Get the arrows of witness. See, if you don't have it, what do you have? Knowledge. You know what the Bible says about knowledge? It says knowledge puffs up. Puts a head on you. You know it all. Knowledge. It's not according to knowledge. You can have all the knowledge. It's no good to you. It's the power of God we need.
Amen.
It's the anointing that destroys the yokes we need.
Amen.
Deliverance ministry we need.
Right.
To set us free. To set the people free. Set the captives free. But Paul said that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, if you turn over with me, and I'm soon coming to the close, turn over with me to 2 Thessalonians. And it's chapter 1. And verses 10, 11 and 12. And Paul's talking about the coming of the Lord again. You see, I met a man there recently. And I said, tell him, would he come to church? This man, he calls himself an evangelist. I asked him, would he come to church? And I also said to him, do you think the Lord's coming again? You know what he said to me? He said, John, the Lord's not coming. There you are. He said, the Lord's not coming. And I said, why is he not coming? He said, because the people's not ready. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, be therefore ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Also says, as the lightning shineth out of the east, even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I tell you, God's ready to come. The Lord's ready to return. And he said he wouldn't come to the church. And he said he wouldn't come because he says the Lord's not coming back. He says he'll live the next 50 years and he'll still not be back. Wonder when he will be back then. He said the people wasn't ready. But the Bible says that evil men will wax worse and worse. But says of the bride of the church, she has made herself ready.
Amen.
Now listen to what Paul says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 10, 11 and 12. It says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed and not dead. So these people believed the testimonies that Paul brought and that the prophets brought and the apostles preached. They believed the testimonies. They believed it. And in verse 11 he says, wherefore also, because you believed that testimony, because you believed that word that was sent from God, he says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, I tell you something. There's something that God wants to fulfill in you. And Joash, he had a part fulfillment because he had 3 strikes on the ground. He had a part of the goodness of God. He had a part of that anointing. He had a part of that power. But God wanted to give him double. And are we operating? I started to talk about the lean-born Christian. Are we operating with a dribble? Don't operate with a glass that is half empty, say it's half full. Don't operate, don't be going about on running on empty. Get filled.
Yeah.
Get filled. You see, he prayed, the Apostle Paul prayed, that you would be counted worthy of this calling. Well, the fact that you've got the calling, the fact that you've got the calling shows that God wanted you. You didn't want God. God wanted you. God chose you. He said to the disciples, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's what he said. We never wanted this. We never sought God. God sought us. We never found God. God found us. We were just there when he came. But there's a walking in the worthiness of that. Joash squandered. He squandered something that was precious. He squandered his time. He wasted his time. He was half fulfilled what God wanted him for. I believe that. Half fulfilled. You know, notice nice to do. I don't know if you agree with me. You mightn't agree with me. But I think this is nice to be able to do. It's nice when your car, your Jeep, or your van, or your truck, or whatever you drive, it's nice when the horn's down at empty. And you own the garage, and you fill her full. Fill her up. You know, if you put a tenner in, do you one journey, you'll need more. Put in 20, do a couple, you'll need. Don't fitter about. If you've got the money in your pocket, fill her.
I'm not a salesman for BP or Shell. I'm not a salesman. I might make one, but listen. God's power is available.
That's right. Amen.
Get it all.
Amen.
Get all you can of it.
That is right.
Get all of you can of it. When do you get it? Get it now.
Amen. Right.
Get all you can of God's power. Get your hands on the bow.
Right.
Get into the gospel. Get into preaching. Get into seeking the gospel. Get into the word of God. Get the power of God on you.
That's right.
Fill her up. Fill her up. And if she's only doing 20 to a gallon, don't worry, there's more. There's more. It's not as if it's going out of fashion. Still available. Still available. You know, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, it gives you the reason for that. In verse 12, here's the reason. It's not to glorify you, it's not to glorify man. The reason is in verse 12, and the reason says that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. I tell you, the fact that you're sitting in this room this morning, God's glorified in you. The fact that you're a believer, God's glorified in you. The name of the Lord Jesus is glorified in you because it was his name that saved you. Now is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Now the clock's ticking. And that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm coming till a close. I've one verse or two verses, and I want to leave them with you. And it's about the disciples. It's Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. This is what's said about the disciples. Now, I was meant to be talking about arrows of witness, but it wasn't much said about arrows. Sure there wasn't. Wonder could we turn the clock back and go to one of Peter's meetings. Turn the clock back and go into one of John's meetings. Turn the clock back and go into the Apostle Paul's, one of his meetings. Why, what would be happening? What was the power behind them men? I tell you, the power behind them was the gospel preached through the Holy Ghost. And this is a record about this is news headlines in their day. Now what, you know, if the Bonbridge Chronicle came here or came among us or came among certain service today to make a report, what would be the report? What would the writing, what would be the headline? Well, this is the headline that they wrote about the apostles. There's the headline. There's the bond. Imagine the newsletter. In big blue gold writing in the newsletter. Front page news. And with great power, give the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There's two greats there in the lives of the apostles. Two great things. Great power and great grace.
Amen. Amen.
I tell you, we need the both of them. You know, it's not just enough to say we need the both of them. Let me say it again. Both of them are available for you and for me today, here, right now.
Amen.
Right now. Great power.
Amen.
Great grace. You know, remember the powers in the gospel. Remember the powers in the Holy Ghost. For Jesus said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witness to me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen.
And Mark chapter 16 verse 15 it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen.
To every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
Is this a fairy tale?
No.
Exactly not.
Amen.
This is the living word of God.
Right.
It's not my word. I wouldn't be smart enough to write it. I wouldn't be smart enough to think it out. I wouldn't have the brains to write it and to make it work. But I believe what the Bible says, that prophecy came not in olden time by the will of man. So therefore man had nothing to do with it, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how you got this Bible.
Amen.
That's the word of the Lord. You know, I want to encourage you this morning. I maybe done a lot of shouting, maybe went the roundabout way to say some things. I want you to put your hand on the bow book.
Amen.
I want you to take the bow and take the arrows and start to use them. And you know it was the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And I trust that something that I've said will encourage you to go on, to go forward.
Amen.
Go on with the Lord. I'm just going to pray this morning, and then Gary's going to come. It's just going after 20 to 1. I know the time. You've listened well, and it has been easy to speak this morning. And I trust that you'll be encouraged. And I trust that the power of God, what I'm talking about, will come on each one of us. I believe it's available to win the lost and to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Our Father, this morning, we have been in your house, I believe, and Lord, I believe you took your word again and spoke to us. And Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit will penetrate our hearts and our souls and our minds, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you'll back your word with power. Lord, that you'll back this gospel message with power and with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, you'll help us to ever present the gospel.
Yeah.
And Lord, you'll help us, if we need to open the window, to open it. And Lord, some of us this morning, we need another start. Lord, I know the rising of the sun protects a new day. But Lord, you don't need a new day, for you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. But sometimes, Lord, we need a fresh start. And Lord, all of us got a fresh start that day at Calvary. We all got a fresh start, Lord, when we called upon your name and you saved us from our sins. And Lord, we passed from death unto life. But Lord, some of us has got knocked down in the last round. Some of us, Lord, has lost two or three rounds. We're weary, Lord, we're tired. And we're not sure. Maybe not sure if we can fight much more. But I pray, God, you'll give your people stamina. Lord, that we'll not throw the towel in, as it were. We'll not quit. But we'll go to the corner, we'll go back to the Word of God, and we'll go back to the Gospel. And we'll come out of the corner fighting. And Lord, we'll put our hand upon the bow. If you will allow us that space of time again, we'll smite the enemy and smite upon the ground more than thrice, more than three times. Lord, that you'll give great deliverance and great power and great victories, that your name will be glorified. Lord, we say that we're insufficient of ourselves. There's nobody else, Lord, can give the power. There's nobody else can deliver us. Save you, Lord. You're the only Savior. Oh, Lord, I ask that you'll meet needs in this room, whatever they are. Lord, that you'll encourage your people. That they'll go, Lord, on the strength of this word, if need be, for 40 days and 40 nights. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll give the hunger. You said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I pray you'll fill your people with the Holy Ghost and fire. In Jesus' name. Bless us now, Lord, as we continue to worship you in song and in praise. For your glory and honor, in Jesus' name, we say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks for all the guys.
It is, let us all repeat on the single hymn, I have heard.